Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, today is Christ the King Sunday. What in the world is that about? It is the reminder that there is one person who's in control of time. Christ the King Sunday, it teaches us that. That's what it's there in the church here for. There's one person in control of time. Boy, I'd like to be that person. I'm not. You'd probably like to be that person to control time. Disappointing news for you, you're not. There have been times in my life that I have wanted to move the clock forward when I've been especially stressed out and control time. I want to share a time that actually happened. I think I've shared it one time before. First time that I took piano lessons with Mrs. Schaefer. Her husband was in charge of the music program at Gonzaga University. She was a great teacher, but she loved music theory. Her eyebrows would go up talking about scales, and her voice would become extra paced and fast in talking about musical composition. Dan, you would have loved her. She loved music theory. I just wanted to play piano. I didn't want to hear music theory. So for the first couple of lessons there in Mrs. Schaefer's studio, it was kind of boring and kind of dragged. And so I came up with the idea of moving the clock forward to make the lessons go a little faster. I'm sorry, I realize who I'm speaking to. Colleen, Peggy, I know you're laughing over there. This is a true story. Mrs. Schaefer left the studio about the third lesson in, and I went to her clock and moved it forward 10 minutes. Man, that was great. The piano lesson, it flew by. It was amazing. And so I came up with the idea that the next week, the fourth lesson, that I would move the clock forward 14 minutes, make the lesson go by even faster. So I did. I moved it forward, say about 14 minutes, something like that. For just a brief moment, I thought I had the power to change time. What a powerful thing. I thought this would last forever. The third lesson, however, the clock was gone. Disappeared. Never to come back in Mrs. Schaefer's studio. From that point on, Mrs. Schaefer took track of time by her wristwatch. You know, maybe you can relate to that, but you see, when we're stressed out, circumstances are really bad. We have the desire to change time, to make it go faster. Maybe you're thinking about that with the holidays coming up. Stress is coming on you. Boy, it'd just be nice to be done with it if I could just move forward in time. But that lesson taught me that actually you can't. You can't control time. I can't. You can't. There have been times in my life that I've wanted to move back time. Not forward, but back. Maybe you can relate to that as well. A time that I wanted to move it back was when we actually got our Honda Fit out on the parking lot that you see that we drive today. Back in 2010, we came up, the car that I had through seminary, I can't remember which one it was, Alicia, but the car that I had in seminary went kaput. I can't remember what happened exactly. We'll talk about it. You wrecked it. Okay. She wrecked it. I actually wrecked her car 4 days later, so I can't hold that over her. Well, around that time, it was about 2010, we did some research, some studying to get a car that was economical, that had good gas mileage, and we came up with the idea a Honda Fit would be awesome. What a great deal we got, the Honda Fit. And it was great for a couple of months. But then we got the great news that we were pregnant with our first child. When we were so excited about that with Kaya, she was coming our way, but the Fit was not a great car. That was a time that I wanted to take the clock and go backwards in time and make a different decision for the car that we purchased. And then the payments came at the end of the month. It was like the reminder that there's no chance to go back in time. You've got to deal with what you got. Maybe you can relate to that this morning. You want to go back in time. There's a lot of hurt and pain that we feel about the past, isn't there? about choices that we made. It would be nice to go back into the past and maybe change a word that we said to someone. Or go in the past to times in which they're simpler and they weren't so complicated. Or going back into the time in the past when we could do something different, make a different decision. With the holidays coming forward, perhaps, and there's churches now having services called Blue Christmases, because they address the desire to go back to the way things used to be when there was a loved one around. But friends, the truth is we can't go back in time. We can't go forward. We can't go backwards. We cannot change time. Who can? I can't. I want to. You can't. You want to. You can't. You know, ancient cultures taught and believed that no one could change time, that no one had the power to move back the clock. No one held time and controlled it. Take, for example, the ancient Egyptians. The ancient Egyptians said that time was powerful and no one could change it. They worshiped the cycles out in the environment. They paid a special attention to the climate when it changed, when the sun came out, when things changed. They especially paid attention to the Nile. When the Nile flowed a certain way, that signaled to them that, oh, the time came to plant crops over in this direction or these sorts of crops. When the Nile flowed another direction, that signaled to the Egyptians that, oh my goodness, now it's time to king to give someone the chance to be pharaoh. They decided who was pharaoh based on the Nile, the cycles that were happening in the environment around them. When they had to make a big decision, they'd go out to the Nile and check it out. Now, I don't think anyone here this morning would raise their hand and say, I believe in ancient Egyptian religion. But isn't it true that sometimes we live that exact same way? We live life as if there's no one that can hold time, no one that can control it, no one that can change it, no one who's over time. So there you have it. We can't control time. Many religions, many societies say that no one can control time. It's the most powerful thing. What a powerful thing when Jesus comes in Mark 13. What is this about? I want to pick something up here that Jesus is digging at here at the end of the church year, the last Sunday of the year. Jesus' disciples had been with him and they'd seen these miracles. He gave sight to the blind. He healed those who were lame. But here in this text, Jesus gives a suggestion that God the Father holds time, that he's over all time, that he created it, in fact. Jesus says at the end of time, things will happen and that he will come down on the clouds, he says. There will be an end of time, Jesus is saying. And then Jesus says, when he clarifies when this time will happen, Jesus says, no one knows when this will happen, not the angels in heaven, not the Son of Man, but only who? God the Father. God controls time. God is over time. God is in time. He's powerful. This is a major breakthrough in the history of man for someone to say such a thing. God is beyond time. And that's the clear teaching of the Scriptures, my friends. God was from the beginning, before even time began. God was creating the suns, the stars, the cycles that the Egyptian worshipped. God made those things. God was in time. We know that very clearly with the gift of Jesus in his life. He lived during the time in which Caesar Augustus gave a decree, a very specific time period, Luke says. A decree went out to register the entire world. That's when Jesus came. Jesus came in time during the time of Mary and these people named Martha and Peter and James. You get the picture. But the Bible also teaches that God is beyond time. We call that eternity. Our text that we didn't read this morning, Jude, closes out with a statement about this. Check it out, verse 25. It says, to God be all glory, dominion, authority, who was before time, is now, and will be forever. What Jude is saying at the end of this little epistle is earth-shattering. He's saying God is beyond time. He controls it. A couple weeks ago was daylight savings. Did you change your clock? You're here this morning. You must have. This clock is the one in our house that we use. It directs us. It keeps us where we need to be. When I took it out of the house this morning, I thought this is going to throw Alicia completely off. This clock is very important for our lives. And a couple weeks ago, when I was changing the clock for daylight saving, one of our girls came up and they were completely bewildered because they had never seen the clock change. They thought that was the strangest thing. Papa took the clock and moved it backwards an hour, like this. And so the question was asked, how are you sure of what time it is? That was the question that I got. And I didn't think through what I would answer. My answer was this: my cell phone told me what time it is. Then the question came, well, how does the cell phone know what time it is? Well, cell phones never lie. They always tell the truth. No, I said this. Actually, no, it's based on Greenwich Mean Time. This is a city outside of London on the Thames River, and there's a Royal Observatory, and they base it on when the sun is at its highest point at the prime meridian. At that point, it's 12 noon in Greenwich, England, and the whole world is separated into 24 time zones, 15 degrees longitude apart. This was all adopted sometime in the 17th century. In 1863, the United States adopted it. Then it became worldwide recognized in 1864. Thank you for asking, Kaya. I didn't say that. But who holds the man in Greenwich, England? Who actually is holding time? I share all that to say that God the Father, He's the one holding time. And if God the Father is strong enough to hold time, friends, He can also hold all that stress and anxiety that you have about the time that you spend here today and in the weeks ahead. Perhaps you're thinking of the time ahead. Boy, I'd really like to be like Jeremy this morning in the piano studio. I'd like to move the clock forward and just manipulate time myself and get through the holidays. That would be so much easier. Friends, hand that stress over to God this year, and you can live in the moment. Or maybe you're this morning thinking about the weeks ahead and how things used to be in the past, and you're nostalgic about how it was in 2005 or 1990, and there's great grief or regret over what happened in your life. The God who created you carries time. Friends, if you have grief, and that's definitely okay and good to have, but let God carry some of that this season. He's strong enough. He carries time. Time is in His hands. Psalm 31 says that. Time is in His hands. So today is the changing of the church year. Thank you for coming to celebrate the new year, for bringing your balloons and all the festivities for today. But notice what we do in the church. We operate on a different calendar, don't we? Next week is the new year, the Advent season. Some people might say, well, why do you do that? Why do you do a church year? What is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost? And why do you have the fifth Sunday after Epiphany? This is why. We're saying that we're saying this. The God who created us is the one who is in charge of time. Not a calendar, not January, March, February, whatever. But we're waiting for the time in which God will come and bring His Son, Jesus. We're looking for it, and He controls time. So as we look forward to the weeks ahead, if you're thinking about moving the clock forward or moving the clock back, hand all those concerns, those stresses to God. He can carry them for sure. Amen. Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, time is a major issue in our world, no matter what culture. And Lord, help us to see who's behind that time, who's created it, and who has a plan for all eternity. We thank You that You are beyond time. We don't understand how all that works, but help us to place our trust in You with the time that we have so that we can relax and enjoy the world and friends that You've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're going to rise and sing our sermon song this morning, You Are My King. Rick's going to lead us.